Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everybody doing this week?
Politics cheered me up, so that was nice.
Oh my God,
wrestling
that's right.
Was
we
bumming me out.
Had a mildly euphoric
kind of a
week.
Great week, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That was really huge. I think I was so confused to be relieved that I actually kept getting really stressed out, like, over the weekend and at the beginning of the week. And I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so anxious. What's happening? And then I would be like, wait a second. You don't have to be anxious. Biden's not running anymore. It's actually Brad Summer.
It's Summer.
Calm down.
I'd been working so hard to not think about any of it that I hadn't realized how, like, dead inside I'd become, and then it was like it lifted and I was like, oh, I feel amazing.
It's so fascinating watching that happen across, like, the entire Democratic.
Oh my God, I know.
You know, you just see a lot, like, of people look like they just did acid.
Well, I had started to realize just how stressed out I was, and I had started to be like, I'm really unsure how I'm gonna make it through the next four and a half months to 4.5 years. And of course, look,
I mean,
we got a long way to go, baby. It's time to get to work, as they say. But I do feel like I will survive the summer. I do feel I'm going to be able to make it through the summer now. So that's huge. So you're huge. Right. It was a great week. It was a really good week.
Yeah. And I've gotten to watch everyone outside Kentucky discover our governor, Andy Beshear.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out he's the most acceptable VP candidate for the far left, which I love.
Wow, that's great.
At least
we've both been having a huge week for our governors, have we not?
I watched your little governor's clips,
I love Tim Walz, actually. I don't always love him, but I've loved him this week, for sure.
Yeah.
And I love that he said, people like when I call him weird. I will happily continue to do it.
I know, I feel like everyone, all these little VPs out there doing their audition tapes have been like, oh, if we're just like, they're weird and mean, and why are they like this? Everyone's like, yeah! And so they keep doing it, which is a great election vibe.
It's funny how disarming that is as, like, a description. And it's right just to be like, that was such a weird thing he said. Why did he say that?
You know? Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, it was a weird thing to say.
It's kind of startling how much more effective it is than our Clinton-Trump round of deplorables, I'm not trying to shit on anyone, but it really is like, yeah, that was, it's like, it's true, but it's so much more effective to just be like, really weird. You don't want to hang out with these guys. They're not cool.
And just like the assumption, like, most of us are normal. Like, I think as a country, we'd like people to say, like, normal, kind of adult, nice things to each other that aren't just horrible for no reason. And it's like, that'd be a real relief, you know?
Yeah. So, pleasant Thanksgiving 2024. That's the platform we're running on. The idea. And it is, like, that also is a euphoric relief. The idea that you could just sit down with a group of people and just have a normal conversation and nobody is trying to sell you on some weird QAnon conspiracy theory. It's like, aside from anything else, it's exhausting. I'm tired.
We've had enough of it. It's been going on for so long. And it really is, like, advice columns will be like, if someone says something like gross and racist or offensive to you, if you just react like, why would you say that? Like, why, what do you mean by that? Like, that's the best way to handle it. And it's like, I feel like everyone's become so inured to Trump's whole deal that they don't act like that there anymore. They're just like, well, of course. But it's like, yeah, we should be reacting like, what a weird thing to say. Why would you say that to me? Like,
oh my God, I just suddenly remembered the Hannibal clip this colleague. Oh, God, what a world. Okay, that's enough Paula talk, probably. Leah, what's making you happy this week? And then we'll do promo, and then we'll get into the stuff.
Nice. What's making me happy is weed scientists.
sister.
When I was a youth, you had to get weed from a strange man that you had to invite to a party. And then, like, then you had to sit in the room with him, and it wasn't cool. And now you can just go to a store and I've been drinking all week these lemongrass seltzers.
Oh my God, sister, that's what I'm in.
Oh my God. They're unreal. And it's like, they just taste like bougie seltzer. They don't taste like weed. They taste like got some kind of like crafted, like carbonated lemonade from somewhere. And then you drink it and you're like, oh, slightly high, and it's like, that's all I need.
Wow. It's so good. And I found out recently, I shouldn't say that because I actually have, I didn't look up any of the articles. I was just I was having a pleasant conversation with some non-weirdos. And they were like, yeah, Minnesota is like it's at the front of the weed seltzer game. Like, that hasn't caught on anywhere else, but because of our accidental legalization of Delta 9 or whatever, all the breweries here make like weed drinks. And so when you go to the co-op, my favorite place, as you all know, there's just a wall of different weed beverages that you can choose from.
Minnesota? What's going on in Minnesota is unreal. Like, it is true that, like, I think that I am, like, in the forefront of the situation because I've got four flavors to choose from. I've seen the co-op she's talking about. You know how, like, liquor stores will have a back wall that's just beer? This is what they've got going on for weed seltzers.
Wow. Yeah.
What is happening? Like, you could get anything there.
It's amazing. It's a whole new way of living, really. And,
had one. They don't even taste like weed. They're like...
No. Some of the brands, like, you can taste it a little bit, but a lot of them you can't. And then they also, like, a lot of them are more in, like, they go into various soda areas as well. Mm. So those ones you can't taste anything. Like, just, like, I'm drinking Hawaiian fruit punch, and now I'm absolutely zonked.
The thing I like so much about it is that, like, when you take an edible, it's like you're completely, like, sober, and then all of a sudden it kicks in and you're like, oh, I'm stoned. But, like, drinking a weed seltzer has the same effect as, like, drinking, where you're like, you start to feel it and then it creeps up and you're like, oh, am I getting hot? Like, it feels more like a process than it does, like, there's a switch. And then the other thing is that, like, they sell little like bottles of like the
flavoring
syrup. Yes, so you can make your own weed seltzer with the Soda Stream, and I'll tell you for free. Makes me feel like a wizard.
Okay, well, now you are at the forefront of weed science. That's incredible, because I haven't seen that at the co-op.
It's just a little dropper. Wow. And you could put it in anything. They sell it they sell it in strawberry and unflavored at my weed store.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you can, like, flavor it yourself. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that.
Did you see that influencer, like, trad wife that's everywhere? She made Coke from scratch, like Coca-Cola, like, made the syrup with, like, herbs and stuff.
Was it Nara Smith?
Yeah.
When you said Coke, I was like...
Yeah, I also did.
Coca-Plant?
No, she made Coca-Cola. But
oh, my gosh.
Wild. She's like, my husband had a craving for Coke, and we were out. It's like, no, he didn't. Stop it.
We don't have the time to unpack the Nara Smith world right now, but you'd best believe I've been getting into it with Anna. Okay, great. Well, we were... Nope, that's not what I meant. This is a good time to disclose I will just share with the class. Listen, we're at the forefront of weed science here in Minnesota, and it's been a long, you know, it's been a long life. So I thought, well, I'll have a little weed seltzer. And as Leah pointed out, it kind of, you know, it comes on gradually. So you can kind of, with a weed seltzer, you can be like, okay, I'm going to just start sipping it now. And about 2 hours from now is when I'll be like, oh, now I'm high. That's perfect for a podcast. But we did do an hour of chit-chat time before we started recording. So just the calibration was a little off. So I don't really know where I'm going to be mentally in the next hour and a half of this podcast.
Oh, that reminds me. Would you mind if I added to the schedule an emotionally dicey and difficult to manage.
I think the last time you got accidentally too high on this podcast was when we were talking about like pretty dark little topic.
It was a dark topic, and we will not tell the listeners which episode it was. But if you know what's going on with me, you can just hear, like, during that discussion, the way I'm kind of swimming through mud to be able to engage with my co-host about something where I'm really scared of phrasing things wrong.
It's like a sentence with, like, 20 words, but none of them are nouns.
But luckily, you know what, tonight I think it's all no holds barred, all systems go. I can kind of say whatever or whatever. All right, our episode of Gate Leapers that we told you guys about last week came out today. I think we all listened to it at least a little of it again today, and it's so fun. You gotta go check it out.
Yeah, such a good time. It's like I'm at the point where I'm like, you know, you guys, you could invite us on for other fandoms too. Like, we watch other things. You know, if you do an interview with the vampire episode, like, we can come on for that.
Have us back. We've had so much fun. Yeah.
I would love us to get quizzed on Interview with a Vampire, considering that it took like six brain trusts to answer the question, was the interview published in canon?
We can never leak the transcript of us and Aaron just trying to figure out like what happened in the season of a show that we just watched that goes on for like an hour. It's like an hour of us being like, wait, that's
how? When you're group chatting through a show that actually like is crafted so it needs your attention. Like, cause I watched it like separately from you guys other than the last two episodes, cause I was like catching up. And so I was like rewinding when I missed things and like giving it my whole attention. And then you guys watched the last two episodes with me. And I think I barely talked in them cause I was like, guys, no, I have to focus. Like, I'm watching the TV. I can't take my eyes off the TV.
You were pretty quiet. You were.
Yeah, that's what happened. I like felt bad about it. I was like, I hope they don't think I'm not enjoying it. I'm just like enjoying it too much. So
it really is like, in order to enjoy it with your friends, which you have to do, like, of course that's so important, you kind of have to watch it once just to get the bones of the episode, and then you need to go back on your own and watch it another time to mostly understand what happened. And then you've probably, just because we don't look at our screens, that we're not that good at staying focused, you probably got to watch it one more time just to catch up on the final details. Yeah.
And then, you know, get on the old twitter.com or whatever to see the details that other people have grabbed for you and be like, that little look there.
Of things that people have come out with, like, that still people are saying about these episodes that I'm like, oh my God, that's what was happening there. It's really good writing. Yeah. Well, anyway, we were promoting our Gate Leapers episodes.
We're going to do great tonight, I think. It was so fun. It's a very fun episode. Everyone should listen to it. It's a great podcast.
Please go check it out. Great. We love them. Matt and Audrey, you guys were amazing hosts. Thank you for having us. It was such a blast.
Yeah. We tweeted a link to both the episode and to Gate Leapers' Instagram, where they are posting video of our session. And I believe if you join their Patreon, you can get a video version of the whole thing, which I do think is worth it, because our faces as we razz each other and struggle to remember basic facts.
It was crazy to listen to the end of that last game. Like, we literally are panting like racehorses. Like, we just, like we just went around the track a couple times. We got so excited. So excited.
It's hard on us. Okay. We really knew more stuff than I thought we were going to. I was pleased/disturbed. Yeah.
The moment again where you, I'm not going to spoil what it was, but you pulled out that name that none of us knew, I felt the exhilaration all over again. It's like, oh my God.
I'm still shocked. I don't know what happened. I didn't know you knew it.
I lived it, but re-listening to it today, yeah. I was like, wow, we can't have gotten any of these. I'm sure we didn't get that.
That's really just like, I guess I've looked at the AEW personnel page a bunch of times, but I didn't think I was processing any of it.
Just goes to show, the brain is always working, even when it feels like it's just lying there like a wet fish. Well, on that note, I think we better get into Blood and Guts. Hey. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
So ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got a nice long chunk of time on Wednesday for Blood and Guts. We did get about an hour with the overrun, which is good.
Thank you.
I was really worried, actually.
The first half of that episode, I was like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored of wrestling. Like, why is nothing grabbing me? So, yeah, it was great.
And it would be just our luck, though, that, like, they would, like, be spending all this time, like, badly building Blood and Guts and then have it be a 20-minute match. Like, that wouldn't happen to us.
I think I was kind of, like, without really thinking it through, I was kind of convinced that's what was going to happen. So when they said, like, we're cutting Blood and Guts and it was, like, 10 past or 15 past, I was like, oh, my God. They're for real. They're going to give it a full hour. Thank fucking God. Okay, so ahead of the match itself, we did get two backstage segments that are relevant. So first, we had Bryce walking in on the Elite beating up Christopher Daniels and just kind of being like, well, I can't do anything about that. It's very funny. It's like, you're really your ref.
He's tiny,
I guess you have
though.
No authority here. Mm. You have no authority outside the ring.
And yet if other people put on a ref shirt, they are granted some kind of authority. So
the internal logic is not there, but that's okay. He had them flip a coin for who was going to get the advantage in the match, who would come out first, and the Elite won using their own coin, which is a little trick coin that was the Elite on both sides. Very fun. Hangman was nowhere to be found, but Matt told everybody he's definitely going to show up. We also checked in with Team AEW backstage with Swerve attempting to hype them up and Darby really failing to fall in line. And I've written what he somewhat incomprehensibly shouted here. He goes in the middle of Swerve talking. He says, shut up. You're my leader. You're going to go around saying you're leading us? You ain't leading nothing. We're not going to see eye to eye, Swerve. Not tonight. Not any night. And then Swerve, this was so sublime to me. I mean, I really was like, this is perfect. He just takes off his sunglasses like, I have a tension headache. I cannot keep doing this. And says, you choose tonight of all nights to do this.
Which is true because I like saw this and it was so delightful and it was like what I'd been wanting from AEW is like some inter fighting and it's like, oh, we're just doing this now. We couldn't be doing this for the last 3 weeks. Like,
it's okay. So unfair because I would watch hours of it. It was so easily funny. Hours. Like just his expression just being like, I have known you for so long and I want to pummel you so badly. You always do this. You are always doing this kind of thing.
I had like half forgotten that they had history too. And I was like, why have we not been playing up their long-standing stuff this whole time too?
Hello, strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Strange bedfellows match.
They're actually really well accustomed to each other, bedfellows.
Did some bundling.
Bedfellows for a long time. We can't get into that kind of thing.
So sorry. This reading what Darby said is very like, these words don't make sense in this order. It's like, you know, there's that like parody song from an Italian where it's like, it's in a, like American, but it's like all gibberish, but it sounds like a song in English. Yeah. And it's like, that's what I feel like Darby's doing. It's like just saying sounds that word sounds like English, but it's not.
Pretty much. And he's lucky that I like his wrestling so much because he also did this on Collision, which I grimly endured, just to check in on some of the stuff I knew that I was going to have to know. And he had to do a promo after his match with, I don't want to look. Anyway, he had to do it after his match. So he's, like, clearly, like, you know, tired, heaving for breath, on the mic, just being like, oh, God, they always make me do this kind of thing. They don't even come to this show. And so then when we're going to fight them, and then you've got to fight them because I got to talk about the Young Bucks, and they gave me a job. And Jack Perry, you're going to get it too. Okay, are we done here? I've got to get out of here.
The way everyone has decided, like, what they're going to attack the Young Bucks on is not working Saturday, not going to Collision. It's like, bro, I don't watch Collision. Like, I don't work Saturdays either. Like, this is not a good attack line.
It's so funny. But I don't even get mad at him. I'm just like, you don't want to be doing this and you're sleepy. anyway. Oh. Okay, so then Max Caster, this also was funny. Max Caster tried to get in on the argument, too, and said, oh, will you be happy to get violent with me, Sneaky Swerve? And I was like, Max, this isn't about you. Not everything is about you.
You okay? know he can't be hearing that. He has to be the center. He really wants the attention.
So funny. Okay. Anyway, everyone got cut off by Mark Briscoe. Oh, who I believe said the only thing we can truly all get behind is the fact that Wednesday isn't Friday. That might or might not be right. Something along those lines.
It's crazy how his promos are often, like, as he's doing it, I'm often like, do I understand English? Is this my first language? Because I don't think it is.
It's kind of amazing. It is entrancing, although at the time I was like, Mark Briscoe, not now. I think these men might. I think these men are willing to do sexual violence to each other. Mm. Something important is going on.
We finally got something in the storyline that's working for me.
Okay, let's move on to the match itself. So I have given us a little order of events here that we can reference, but I just figured we could go through it together. Does that sound fun?
Love it.
Okay, so first we got reaccustomed to the Blood and Guts rules, which I had forgotten, and which are quite funny, because what they tell you is that at regular intervals, a man will be released from the backstage and into the match. And I think they
said, like, every few minutes, which is so vague that it's like, like, oh yeah, it's not like every 5 minutes someone come in. It's like, well, we feel like it, you know, every few minutes. Don't worry about it.
I think it's to give them
yeah, a little flexibility.
Flexibility, I guess. But so that's one of the rules. And then the other rule is the match doesn't even start until all the men are out there.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And
it's released wild. Is also so funny because I just picture them in, like, the pens that they keep, like, the bulls in for bull riding, and then they, like, pull the thing and Matt Jackson goes running out.
I feel like that's what someone, maybe Yuxura, implied today, was that in some promotions maybe they do keep the men in separate cages and release them one at a time. Wow. Like, I guess kind of like the penalty box in hockey, which is really fun to think about. That'd I don't know.
I'd love it if they had a little box where, like, the, you know, the thing goes up and lets them out. It. That'd be so fun, yeah.
And one of them just tumbles out looking ravenous and mad.
I guess introducing another moving part, like, could introduce some disastrous possibilities on live television, but even so.
That's true, but it also, but then that'd the other fun. Counterpoint is it's so gladiatorial, right? Oh, yeah. To just be like the big, they haul up the big gate and.
Oh my God, imagine if the cages were like around the rings that they're like,
like in
scratching
each corner.
And trying to get out of their cage to get in the ring, and they're watching uselessly, and then finally their cage opens and they go
and then
running in.
Someone can get the key and come interfere and let them out too early.
There's not any chance that Warner Brothers Discovery is involved in the creation of Gladiator 2, is there? Could we get any corporate synergy on this? Or?
I don't know. That's a great question. I can't believe they're doing a Gladiator 2. It's
crazy, but I think we have to support it. I think that we have to
it's a good movie.
I'm going to watch Denzel be a gladiator or be an emperor. Anything. I actually don't remember the plot of Gladiator at all.
I watched it for the first time somewhat recently, but I agree that I don't remember. Yeah, I like watched it recently and I was like, guys, that was a great movie. Did anyone talk about that?
People are talking about it less than they could, certainly. Yeah. They talk about other stupider things a lot.
I think the ending was stupid. Is that right?
I thought the ending was cool. Isn't that where they all stand up and they say, like, something in Latin? Like, it's me. Like, they all say something.
All right, well, I can't Google this right now, but we're going to get
it's me.
going really well. Let's get back to plotting.
Let's take it offline. We'll take Pedro Gladiator Pascal offline. Is
trying to see what production company is. It's distributed by Paramount.
Are they?
Is that under W? Aren't they,
it's kind of like, aren't all movie studios like owned,
just
by,
owned by
the same conglomerate?
The Shinehart Wind Company? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We got to move on.
We've simply got to move on. Okay, so Elite Team 1, AEW Team 1. We have Jack Perry and then Darby Allin. They're fighting. They're outside the ring. You know, Darby's getting tossed around. All that good stuff. They go in the ring. We learn that there are a lot of props in the ring. They're under there, and they can go get them whenever they want. They can just go get a prop if they want to. So they do a little garbage can violence and sexual choking. Then we get our first Jackson.
Woo.
Now, what did you guys think of Nick's vibe?
It was so funny. He came marching down the ramp with a briefcase. He looked like a little boy pretending that he was going to be his dad.
He didn't get to come up the elevator either, and it was weird to see him come out without Matt Jackson. I was like, is he okay? Yeah, but he was so confident, though. I mean, he was proud of himself with his briefcase.
He was totally capable of walking without his brother. It was no problem for him. Such a brave boy.
Okay. But he was marching so happily with that briefcase.
I know.
They were proud of themselves. Yeah.
Well, that was the moment, because I did start the match a little low energy. Like, even though I really like Blood and Guts matches, but I was kind of like, okay, I'm ready to watch. And that was around the time he looked so happy that I was like, wow, he's so excited to do this match. I bet it's going to be pretty fun. And I started sitting up a little bit.
I mean, the build for this was like so bad and non-existent that I just wasn't very psyched for it. But then as soon, honestly, like when Darby and Jungle Boy were going, I was like, oh, like, because they had so much energy and intensity and you felt like they really wanted to kill each other and there was history. I was like, why have we been not doing anything with any of these guys? Like, they all should have been wrestling in different configurations for the past month. They should have been doing promos. Like, why? It's like, it's all your best guys that I want to watch. And instead I'm like watching all this like energy-less nonsense that people are doing.
Yeah. You know, it does kind of raise like pretty serious questions. We're going to get to this later. Well, I don't know if we will. How many minutes into this are we? It does raise pretty serious questions about like, why have I seen every single iteration of the conglomeration versus the Undisputed Kingdom, but we had no build matches for Bloody Guts.
I feel like we've been saying this for a while with like the Elite, that like they just are like all of their big faction feuds, like all no matter them. What the big faction feud is, they just simply aren't doing like the
they
stuff
don't
that
fight.
They used to do.
Yeah, they used
What's
to always that? Do that stuff, but it's
used
like
to
last
lay hands
summer,
on each other.
Yeah, last summer with the Blackpool Combat Club, they didn't do very many matches in different configurations, and then this summer they're not either. It's like, what the...
They've really started to act like there is a limit to like how much time the men can spend pummeling each other, and they have to dole it out really carefully. Like, we can only have Darby and Jack in the ring together for...
Which would be fine if they were teasing me, but like... I mean, like, I wouldn't mind being teased a little if they were doing, like, other stuff to keep me salivating. But it's like, when you waste an entire episode on boring shit, and then it occurs to me that I could have seen cool shit, that's not what you want to be doing.
And they've got so many hours of TV, too. It's like, half the stuff on Collision, like, isn't story-based or going anywhere. It's like, you could be filling it with, like, a JB Darby match, like, a Darby and the Acclaimed Trios match, you know? Like,
right. Like, honestly, like, they beat up Brandon Cutler. We couldn't, like, one of these stupid Rampage Collision matches could have been, like, Team AEW, someone from Team AEW against Brandon Cutler, and then, like, an interference later. Yeah. Like, why didn't we do any of that?
Could do some goofs. And they've, like, barely done promos. It's like, they did this, like, infighting promo this episode, but it's like, why is this almost the first promo that Team AEW has done? Like, this is
I do
crazy.
Think that's really flabbergasting, especially since... Like, it's very funny to do the, like, we're just a ragtag group of, you know, people who've been thrown together and we don't quite get along, but we've got to go do the big game. Usually you kind of do the promo that they did, like, early in the movie, but then they go through some like personal growth and then they get to the point where they can win the big game. But we kind of did a different thing where it's like they kind of like don't really get to the point where they can win the big game, but they do win the big game.
They do win the
And that's like such a satisfying classic sports story of like the ragtag group that like learns to become a team, but it's like you can't have them like meet 2-3 weeks ago and then kind of not talk to each other, and then right before the big game they have one little conflict and then they have the big game. That's not pacing.
Narratively that doesn't make sense.
They should have had, so this team AEW should have been the team for Arcade Anarchy. They should have been doing these promos before Arcade Anarchy. The fact that they couldn't get along should have been what lost them Arcade Anarchy. Then there should have been some like come to Jesus promos where they were like, we have to get it together. And then in some way, like they should have had like tag matches. Like I should have seen Swerve and Darby tagging together and like fighting,
struggling like having to, yeah, to having
and losing because they're fighting.
And then
fighting.
Being like, fuck, we just have to figure this out. And then finally they like get into a groove, but
You could even do like a fun version of that with, if you're trying to set up like Swerve and Darby like fighting some more and having like actually more shit to deal with, you could do something where it's like they manage to sit down and be like, I want to fucking murder you. I want to get my hands on you so bad, but I accept that it cannot happen at this time. We must have a temporary truce and then we will return to our violence. Like that's something fun that you could play with. Yeah. But
and this match was so great. It had, like, so much passion to it.
But, like, that's what we haven't said yet.
Yeah, it was. But it's, like, imagine if there had been, like, a story like that leading up to it, which made me, like, really want Team AEW to come together and win the big game. Then it would have, like, really elevated the match even more, which I loved the match. I thought it was great. But
I loved it.
Isn't that the continued problem with AEW, though, is that, like, their builds suck ass, but then their pay-per-views end up being great, so then you, like, forgive them for how sucky the build is. But it is, like, those chickens are finally starting to come home to roost, like, where it's like, oh, actually, we could be doing this better, though.
It's like, Tony, do you know how hard you're leaning on, like, Nick Jackson's ability to choreograph a match? Because it's like, I just know, it's like, if I know Nick Jackson is involved, I'm just like, I know it's going to be fucking awesome.
It's going to be a great
and
match.
And it is, I lost it during this match. I can't believe that then I had to get online and read people being like, this match wasn't good. It's just like, okay, well, you just want something different than what I want, and I can't deal with you right now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This was fucking awesome. I started so sleepy, slumped over, and by the end of it, I'm sitting up, I'm doing my little, I do the little butterfly lotus pose or whatever when I'm like really excited, and I'm just losing it. And that's what I like. I like feeling that way.
It literally was, like, the last few weeks I've just been, like, I feel like there have been other times where I've been, like, more mad at stuff that's going on and more unhappy with it, but I've just been bored the last month or so. And so this was like, oh, right, I like wrestling. That's nice. Yeah. Like, and it was just, like, people are actually bringing a lot of intensity and fun to the screen, and you can see it, and you can enjoy it, and it feels good. It's like, oh, I feel like they want to murder each other, and they're doing crazy things, and, like, they're all into it, and I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
All everybody in that ring was like, I know exactly what their deal is, which is a lot of these multi-mans, I'm like, you guys are all interchangeable, but it's like Darby and Swerve and Mark Briscoe, they're all very different people, but I understand what's going on with all of them.
Yeah, totally.
It was a really smartly laid out match. Can we talk about something pretty serious really quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were 10 men in this match. There were 4 shirts. At one point, fully half of the men in the ring before the final 2 men appear, fully half of them have shirts on. Has this become normal? We can't normalize this.
When Max Caster came out wearing a shirt, I was like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, we have to stop the match until we figure out what's going on.
Is there a rash going around backstage? Like, what are you hiding from me?
You all have beautiful bodies. I mean,
do we not praise them every week? Like, are we not giving you what you need? It's like, if we had gotten into wrestling and all the men wore shirts, then that it would just be like, well, men wear shirts in wrestling. But guys, that's not how it was when we got into wrestling. When we got into wrestling, nobody wore shirts. Everybody had their chest bared. But now all of a sudden it's so cool for young, like bulked up studs to be putting fabric over their tits.
Fabric.
I'm sending that clip to Anna's dad.
Sick. Ellie's friend Anna's family very nicely wants to hear the podcast, but they're too wholesome, and she won't let
tell them. I won't tell them the name of the podcast. Oh my gosh. I just think it's messed up.
It is messed up. Like, why, like, there's so few things in my life that I am just absorbing uncomplicatedly. And wrestling has been so annoying lately. And I'm like, even this you take from me? Like, you're going to have, like, annoying storylines, but you're not even going to show me your boobs while you do it? Like,
Max Caster had a shirt on. If you can hear that and you're not thinking, wow, something really weird is going on, then you're the problem. Okay, it's not us this time. Like, of course, sometimes it's us, but this time it's not.
It's true. And we were like, is he, like, covered in hickeys? What's going on? But he took it off eventually. By the end of the match, he didn't have the shirt on, so I guess it's fine. So why are we wrestling 75% of a match with a shirt on?
I don't friggin' know. I want to see it. You could come out with it on, but it should be coming off lickety-split. Like, and it should be a show.
Orange Cassidy style. Like, you get out there, you hand your sunglasses to the ref, and then you do a little striptease for us. That's what
I don't do your first move in the shirt. And you certainly don't wear your best
entire match. I didn't mind the way Darby did it, where he was wearing his Taylor Momsen coat, and then he was getting beat up in his coat, and then, like, he flopped on his back and kind of wiggled out of it. I'm like, yeah, we could do that.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay. Let's talk about Hangman and Swerve in the match, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's hard to know what to say because I was so violently aroused by what I was seeing that I almost couldn't function.
Oh my God. This is another thing where it's like the energy they were bringing, and I was like, and this show wants to show me other things all the time? Like,
I don't fucking know why.
What is happening? Like, not to skip ahead, but like, when Toni Storm came out later, and I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead, but it's like, she brought so much intensity in like a 30-second, like, nothing spot. And I was like, when I feel like a wrestler is out here trying and they're giving me some passion, it really electrifies me in a way that all these half-hearted nothing storylines are not doing for me. It's like, it doesn't take much. You don't have to even have a long-term story. You could just, like, come out here looking like you want to kill or have sex with the other person.
Or both.
Then, hopefully both,
I want to say something, which is something I've been working on with myself this year, is a little personal side quest, is that I have a tendency to, like, you know, get, like, want to watch something or, like, get, like, a, you know, special thing to, like, treat to eat or something, and then be like, well, I better save this for a little later. I better save this for later for, like, when it, you know, I'll just build up the anticipation. And then I just, like, won't ever watch it or eat it or whatever. So I've been trying to remind myself, like, just use it. Just use it. And I keep repeating that Mary Oliver line, joy is not made to be a crumb. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Like, you, if something is exciting, beautiful, sexy, passionate, and it is available to you, reach out and grasp it with both hands.
Yeah.
And when we're watching Swerve and Hangman on screen and it's not, and I feel like it's being purposefully kept from me, like, in the middle of the match, these men just disappear. They just
during a commercial
go away in the middle of the match. I am reaching through my screen and I am grasping Tony Khan's face in my hands. And I am saying, joy is not made to be a crumb. Excuse me, sir. Hasn't Brian Danielson read that one to you?
Oh my God. Brian Danielson, take some Mary Oliver advice, please.
Absolutely crazy. So, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, well, Swerve and Hangman. Okay, so it starts with Hangman handcuffing him to the... I thought they were going to handcuff themselves together, and I was
That's what I thought, too, and I was pretty excited about it.
I really thought that Hangman was going to be like, you keep slipping away from me. Try to leave my side Swerve.
Too steamy.
Crazy. But instead he did both his arms to the cage like he's, you know, being crucified there and then was yelling stuff at him. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it was so good.
He's yelling like, you never earned this belt, you don't deserve it. Like, just all this stuff, you were never supposed to have it. And the look that Swerve is giving him, it is like, he hate you, but he love you, he respect you, mm-hmm. and he despise you, and he wants to fight you. Oh,
yeah.
At Wembley. He kind of so wants bad. To fight you.
Yeah, but kind of every second of every day, and really especially in that electric atmosphere.
Can't stop thinking about you.
Can't stop thinking about you. When they did, so whatever, we have a whole thing. It's like he's shackled. Matt Jackson stops the match and gets on the mic to be like, bitch, get in this ring. The last time we punished you, we suspended you. This time we will fire you if you don't get your ass in this ring. Hangman gets in the ring. Well, there's some stuff going on there, and we don't have time to unpack all that.
Can we unpack it really quickly? Yeah. Small. Just that Matt's tone was like, if you're trying to have like a bachelorette party and your friend goes out into the porch to have a fight with her boyfriend on the phone, and you're like, bitch, if you don't go back into this house, like, we are not doing this again.
We're not going back.
We all paid money and we're gonna enjoy this trip.
We are gonna enjoy this. We are in Nashville.
And he's like, I put together this beautiful match for you, and you won't even come into the cage to fight it. I don't think so.
Many party favors here.
I want to see a talking head of Matt Jackson just being like, do you know how many fucking elite events that Hayley has ruined by talking or thinking about Strickland?
If they started doing like reality show type talking heads like that, I really feel like it could really elevate the show in certain circumstances.
Yeah. Every now and then I would certainly love it. Oh my God. Okay, so now he's in the ring. We have a whole thing where it's like every man that you're like, should I be seeing this right now, comes out. So we've got Brandon and I keep trying to say Jeff Bridges, but it's Billy Gunn. No.
Oh. Billy Gunn and Jeff Jarrett.
And Jeff Jarrett is there yet again. And what they do the whole thing and they get sort of uncuffed. And he goes into the cage. And then we do get a full-on, there ain't enough room in this town for the two of us standoff, where Hangman and Swerve are just in the separate rings.
They did such a good job, though, because didn't...
Girl, did they practice?
When Swerve first got into the ring, he punched Nick, he punched Matt, he punched
Jack.
Oh,
yeah, he's getting them all out of the way.
And he was clearing the way. Mm-hmm. And Hangman was waiting, standing in the other ring, for him. And as soon as Swerve looked over at him, Hangman started to move slowly. And then they were mirroring each other.
Eyes meet across a crowded room. Yeah, like, Hangman
was waiting to be noticed. Mm-hmm. And then the moment he was, he got into action. And then they both slid 1 foot out of the ring.
Oh my God.
At the same time, and just in perfect unison,
the crowd's going wild.
The crowd's going fucking wild. Losing it. They slide into no man's land. I genuinely thought I was going to hurt myself. I was like,
oh my God.
You are so dangerously activated right now.
Yes. They did that overhead shot of the two of them between the two rings, and it was just like, holy.
After starving us in the desert for months and being like, no treats for girls, you can't just all of a sudden like drop this on it. It's not safe.
No, it's like when you have like somebody who's been outside for too long and they're in danger of hypothermia, you're not supposed to drop them into a hot tub. It shocks their system.
When someone's been starving and they're malnourished, you have to just give them tiny bits of food at a time to get their body used to it.
Little nibbles. It's like, of course, did we beg for this much activation? Sure, but a responsible parent wouldn't have given it to us.
They would have given us some each week instead of starving us and then shoving it down our throat all at once.
Just imagine Tony Khan having to listen to this and being like, to be honest, I don't fucking know what they want. They say they want the things that they want, but then I give them the things that they want and they don't want them anymore. It's like, well, give them to me in a safer, more controlled way, because, you know, we were freaking out. I mean, we didn't remember how it felt to be this alive during Dynamite.
It was incredible. I mean, wow.
It really took me out.
It was ridiculous that they disappeared during a commercial, but in a way it was like, for our own safety and the safety of others, you know? But, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we liked the match quite a bit. There's a lot of other stuff we don't have to get into, but it ends with, so Max Caster he found the handcuffs. I don't know if he did the handcuffing. He handcuffs Jack Perry to spread eagled to the cage, and then...
Should we talk about the staple guns, too? That was just crazy. Each other so many times.
It was one of those things where I was like, are these men, like, out of control? What is, like, do staple guns not hurt as much as I think they do?
The adrenaline is so high. It has to be.
Did you see the picture of someone's side with all the staple marks in it?
Wasn't it Matt?
I saw Matt posted a picture of Darby's arm, but that was the tacks, I thought. But I haven't seen the staples.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't see the source on the staples,
Just don't think that people should be stapling each other in the neck. Like,
oh my God. Certainly not in real life.
No.
It was crazy. It's one of those things where, no, I'm sure it's like technically safe, but it just makes you wince so much because it's like,
absolutely.
You know, because
you've seen a staple. You don't want to get stapled.
I know what a staple is, and I wouldn't want one in me anywhere. No, not in any part of me.
So I was going to propose like a podcast retreat or whatever, where we like maybe all staple each other. So is that like a hard no?
I think, you know what, Leah, sell me on it. So we'll hop off this recorded portion and you can sell me on our corporate staple retreat.
Corporate retreat. Yeah. I love it.
Okay, yeah. They do the stapling. So Jack Perry handcuffed to the cage. Mark Briscoe is battering him. He's being like, quit, because someone has to quit. That's the other rule, is that it only ends by submission. Or can you end it if you pass out?
No, yeah. I think it was just submission.
Well, it's
just
submission, or what's the other S word, though? It was submission, or I thought if you pass.
Safe word or submission. Yeah,
safe word is definitely what they said.
That's a new idea. I guess that's basically I quit. That's an I quit match, is safe word.
But the submission other thing, or surrender, but I don't know what the difference is between submission and surrender.
Surrender. Well,
that other thing about
sexual a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, certainly.
Submission, the other thing, or that was surrender. Cracking me about Darby is that he was
submission,
like,
or surrender is like the title of a self-published like Amazon like romance book, like Kindle novel.
When you're right, you're right.
Sorry, Lee, what were you saying?
The other thing that was funny about what Darby was yelling is that he was also asking for a match. Like, he was like, you have to give me a match for the TNT title. And I was a little bit like, is this the time? Are you multitasking right now?
It's like, you could have come up with, but actually that's very Darby, that it's like anyone else would at least try, like, you know what, I'm going to pursue that match via a little backstage politicking or something. Darby's like, I don't have fucking time for that. What I like to do is I like to do violence, and sometimes I scream while I'm in the ring. So it seems like as good a time as any to just say, I've got to get that fucking match. And he's trying to get Jack to quit, and Jack isn't quitting, and Darby puts gasoline all over him and is threatening to set him on fire.
He said, let's get this party started. And it was like, this match has been going for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
No. What's gonna happen?
And he says, agree to the match, or I'm gonna light your ass on fire. Now, this is from the official All Elite Wrestling recap, which I love. Jack Perry, defiant, spat at Darby. Okay, Harlequina. Anyway, Mama Bear Matt Jackson has to step in and say, okay, you can have the match. We concede. We submit. He had to protect his little cub. His little cub was so fierce and brave and refused to submit. And so his mama had to submit for him.
His mama had to. And Matt looked so, like, strong, but, like, devastated at the same time. Fine. We quit. Don't hurt him.
Don't hurt my baby. And I know he's proud of his baby. I know he's proud of his strong, defiant baby. Strong baby. It was a pretty good, so it was a really good time.
It was really, it really reinvigorated me.
It's really the first thing that's brought me joy in quite some time. I mean, like, so, I liked it.
I liked it
and
a lot.
I want to say something else. This is actually probably we can move on after this. I know we had this conversation before Blood and Guts about, like, we don't have to have Blood and Guts every year if there isn't a reason to have Blood and Guts. And everyone's been saying that, and I kind of agreed, and I don't agree. anymore. It's exactly like with Stadium Stampede. We had the same, or Anarchy or whatever. We had the same exact conversation. That's like, we don't have to do these big matches every single year. And beforehand, it's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe we don't. And afterwards, I'm like, no, we fucking do. Because this is the only thing that's given me mental health in a month. I feel that way exactly again. I don't fucking give a shit. I love watching Blood and Guts. If as long as Nick Jackson is back there, it's not choreographing, whatever it's called, choreographing the match. As long as men that I trust are choreographing Blood and Guts, you could be throwing six toddlers in there. And I'd be like, let the violence commence. Let's go. Every year. Once a year. For me. For my mental health.
I think, in fact, they should commit to doing Blood and Guts every year and building to Blood and Guts every year. And I think agree. Then we'd I agree have a stew going.
I certainly agree they should build to it. But it's kind of like, even if they don't, I am still going to need to see the match, unfortunately. And I don't have to tell you. I liked it. I had fun. So, okay. So let's talk about the Swerve Hangman Danielson of it a little bit more. And let's touch on... So Swerve is supposed to fight Danielson at Wembley, as we've discussed. And he did. He had this really hot night with Hangman, but he is still supposed to fight Danielson. And we did get a promo from Danielson. He was backstage doing an interview with Renee, and he's kind of talking about, like, well, you know, yeah, I'm just trying to have fun, and I hope we all just have fun, and it's really exciting to be doing Wembley. And the promo, or the interview, gets interrupted by Jeff Jarrett, who has a really, what I would call kind of like a measured, mentorly tone. Like, it's like, it is a little bit like in a sports movie where it's like, we're going to have some real talk now. I'm your kindly father or whatever. And he sits down with Danielson and he says, I hear what you've been saying. And, you know, I was really sad I didn't win the Owen, but you really deserved to win it, and you're the guy, and you're going to go face a really strong champion now, and I know that you might have various ailments you need to heal up. And he said, I think you've got a lot of mental healing to get done, which I was like, that's catty, actually.
Imagine saying that to a friend of yours. Like, I think you've got a lot of mental healing to do, Allie. Brutal.
But then he, again, really kindly toned, he goes, but, you know, Brian, if you're going to go all in, you got to go all in. A lot of people believe in you. And I'm at the very top of that list. And that's the end of that promo. And that's the only promo that we have from Brian Anderson on the show.
This was so wild. It felt like when he was coming out being like, Danielson, you're the one who deserves the Wembley match. It felt very much like a bad Aaron Sorkin show where they like haven't convinced Absolutely. You that the person is good at their job. So they have like all these characters come in and be like, wow, you are the best news guy ever. Your show within a show is so good.
Yeah.
And it also had vibes of like, you remember when Ace Steel showed up to motivate CM Punk? Yes. Right.
It's yes, like, who he is was, this like, guy? Do it for Chicago teachers.
Yeah. Like, you're like, what's happening? Doesn't make any sense. Like, I didn't know you guys knew each other, and Jeff Jarrett's giving you a little motivational, like, to get you going. Like, you should be going already. Like, what's happening?
Oh, my God.
What's crazy about it is that, like, I'm not sure what Jeff Jarrett was trying to get across, because I think that there was a world, and this is a little, I was thinking about this earlier. So, like, the whole thing is that Danielson keeps being like, I don't really care if I win a title. That's really not what I'm, like, here for. I'm, like, here to do sicko shit, right? It would have been kind of, like, at least interesting if Jeff Jarrett was like, yeah, like, I think I've gone into retirement a couple times, and, I mean, it's never really been that exciting, but you have this opportunity to retire in, like, a cool way. So, like, what if you gave a shit about winning and, like, retired, like, in a cool, like, big way and, like, stopped, like, sort of phoning it in, you know, like that kind of motivational thing. But Jeff just kept being like, but you're already that guy, but I know you're going to continue to also be that guy.
And you should be that guy.
And you should be that guy.
So make sure that you are being that guy, because someone has to be that guy, and it's you. I thought it was really strange. They were doing like, it felt like the sports movie beat of like, that Bryan Danielson's character should have been someone who, like, didn't think he wanted to play tennis and fucked up a lot. And people said, like, you are wasting your fucking potential. Or, like, they've told him he could never do it. Or, I don't know, something. He's a little more of a wild card. And that finally someone who cares about him is like, you have an opportunity to be a person I know you can be, like, but you have to choose it, like, and you have to stop acting like things are just happening to you. You have to choose them. That was the beat they were doing, but it's like, but that's not Brian Danielson. He is literally wins all the time and is a really big, like, huge deal, and the people are always being like, he's the GOAT. Like, this is a different character. This isn't adding up. Jeff Deere, like, could have been yelling at him maybe and being like, you have everything going for you and you're just like acting like it means nothing. Like, but the tonally, it was just like, what is this?
Right.
Yeah. It felt very like, what are they trying to communicate to me about Brian Danielson's character and like where he is in this moment? Cause I have literally no idea. And I have less of an idea after this promo. And I don't know.
Brian Danielson's face while this was happening was also pretty funny because like, it was like arranged in this way where you're like, I'm putting together my shopping list, but I'm gonna look engaged. He was just like active listening face, but in his mind he was somewhere else.
Yeah, like, he's like I don't understand why Jeff Jarrett is saying this to me. Like, we've really never had a conversation before.
It's like, it would be impolite not to appear to be paying attention, but God, I can't wait to go on a hike later.
It's so frustrating because it's like, I feel like, because it's very possible for them to put together, like, a coherent storyline if they want to do Brian Danielson winning the title at Wembley, and they're just not doing anything coherent or interesting at all.
It's like being in the car with someone and, like, you're trying to get them to stop somewhere so you can pee, and you keep being like, there's an exit. There's an exit. There's an exit right here. Well, there's another exit in 2 miles. There's an exit. Oh, okay. I guess not. What do you want me to piss myself in this car?
It feels like sometimes, like, listening to the guys who are, like, big ROH heads in the mid-2000s, like, where it's like they seem to think that, like, saying Brian Danielson is retiring is a story in and of itself, but it's not. Like,
again, I'm a big Brian Danielson.
It could be the start of something, right. But it's not the whole thing.
Again, like, they could do a thing where, like, they've already set up that Brian Danielson doesn't care about titles. They could be doing, like, guys coming to give him pep talks that are like, could you please care about this title? Because we all want to see you go out on your front. So could you do that? And then Brian Danielson's like, I guess this one, I'm not going to be horny about doing violence. I'm going to be horny for raising my arm. And that's going to be the thing that I care about.
Oh, my God. Do you guys know that that Maurice Sendak, like, little book poem, Pierre doesn't care? And the whole thing is Pierre's a little boy who is always just saying, like, I don't care. And he doesn't care about anything. And then eventually he gets eaten by a lion. And inside the lion, he decides that he cares. Anyway, that's what I'm envisioning, is that people just keep being like, Brian Danielson, I'm begging you to care, like, please. And he just keeps going, no, I don't, you know what, I actually don't give that much of a shit, but I think we'll have fun. I can't wait to have fun at Wembley.
That is the problem, because it's like, what you need for the story is you need Brian Danielson to have a motivation for anything.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do it in this promo, but it was a huge failure, honestly. Yeah. And it's like, it's because Brian Danielson's attitude is like, but I don't care. I don't give a shit at all, and you can't make me. And it's just like,
it's kind of like a religious I don't care, where it's like his vibe is just like, well, no, because according to, like, you know, like, my religious conventions, like, it's really important to just be in the moment. And you just can't be worrying about whether you're going to get a title or whether you had a title. The past is the past. The future is the future. But the present is where we are, baby. Like, he just looks really self-actualized right now.
I know.
Which is not actually that great for wrestling.
No, he made his peace with Eddie and he was done. He was like, now I've achieved it. I'm at the mountaintop.
Oh, I fixed the one psychological scar I had. I actually repaired it, so no problems. Yeah.
Oh,
the
God.
Most disgusting thing a wrestler can be is emotionally healthy. Like,
I agree. If he, like, decided his story was going to be like, oh, I suddenly realized that actually I really do care about going out. You know, like, he's like, I've actually become a psycho in some way and was doing something, like, feral. It's like, it's so possible, you know, but
yeah.
Just doesn't seem interested.
Brian Danielson, you need to sit down and you need to ask, why are you climbing the mountain? Okay?
And because it's there is not...
Because it's there, I want to hear more stuff along the lines of, because you love the mountain. To embrace the mountain is the kind of thing that I want to hear, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Is there something in your relationship with your father you could do? I mean, please. Anything.
Just reach... Do you not have, like, a rummage bin of psychological issues that you could draw upon? Because yeah. most wrestlers should, I think, and yeah. as a normal human being, I certainly do. If you wanted me to explain... you know, my justification for things. I could dredge up some stuff from my childhood.
Yeah. It's like, if you're so self-actualized now, like, just imagine yourself at 17, like Eddie does, and, like, what issues did that guy have, you know? Like, pull it out of somewhere.
Oh my God, imagine yourself at 17. So true. that'll give you a new psychological scar. Okay, do we even want to talk, do you want to talk about this Bucks FTR thing, or do you want to move on? We can do either.
We can't do this again.
It's literally
rerunning the Trump-Biden election in 2024 as well as 2020. Like, we can't do FTR Bucks again. Someone has to pull out of this, and it's got to be FTR.
It has to be FTR. It can't be the Young Bucks. No. I subjected myself to this promo, and it's like, it's so, it's just almost flabbergasting to watch these men... week after week after week after week after month after year, just show up and you're like, well, probably they will have just, like, played around with a new paragraph. And they haven't. They never have. And they say all the exact same things. And they got mad at the Bucks in the same way for, like, the same shit. And, like, it's so unbearable to watch. Yeah. And then it's like, why on earth? We are a once proud tag team division. We used to have so many tag teams, and now you are trying to give me Bucks FTR again and deal me that psychic damage. Because why? Because we have no other teams. Many are out there saying, I'm like stuttering, I'm losing it. Many have been out there saying things like, well, at least that'll be better than Bucks Acclaimed. No, it won't. Shut up.
I'd rather see Bucks Acclaimed, absolutely.
Of course, that would be new, and it would not be this.
It would not be this.
Yeah. FTR needs a writer. Like, I don't support writers for anybody, but they cannot keep saying the same five sentences over and over. I mean, this one was a little bit new because he was like, you guys know that I've had some struggles lately, but you supported me through them. It's like,
he's like, your struggles turned against me.
You pulled a gun on someone? Like, I'm supposed to feel bad for you? Like, as though that's a thing that happened to you?
Right. And he was like, I'm innocent. I do have anger issues, though. I do have anger issues.
But not at work. Like, not at work. Okay.
But I will start having them in the ring. Okay.
I
hate that man.
Flames at the side of my face. You cannot fucking do this to us. Are you trying to hurt us specifically? Is this personal, Tony?
Feels like it sometimes.
Is it fucking personal?
We're not even that picky.
I will watch them fight anybody. I will jump out of my seat to watch the Young Bucks fight literally anybody at Wembley. It cannot be FTR again.
And I'll tell you for free. That if I have to watch the Bucks lose the belts to FTR at Wembley, that will be the last you ever hear of me.
That would be insane. I just, like, what would that would it, why would you ever do that? Why would you ever do, so then you would, and so then that's what you would do. And then the belts would be back on the tag team that killed the division in the first place.
It would really put the division out of its misery. I think that would be the end of tags at AEW. Yeah.
Take that old nag out back.
Like, have the Bucks fight Top Flight. Like, literally.
They can fight anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
Go back to Private Party. Like, for the love of God, sign some new fucking tag teams.
Oh my God. Pay for a fucking tag team.
If you don't pay Tony. If you don't pay for a fucking tag team, I cannot do this anymore. The only time I feel joy is when I'm watching the Young Bucks wrestle. And I like, you know what? That's not true. I like lots of wrestlers and I like seeing them wrestle, But there are things that the Young Bucks do. They can get me into, like, anything. They really can sell me on anything because they're so good at planning these matches that get me excited. And then I'm just like, yeah, I don't think I don't understand what's going on psychologically, but it's so fun. Like, I know you're going to deliver something that makes me happy. And I never get to see it anymore. I never get to see it. No.
I need them to have a feud where they defend their belts against someone interesting. And I think we are on the record of, like, trying to defend this Acclaimed feud. It can't just be the Acclaimed. I do need them to have another feud. I know with who? And I don't know.
Just start pairing up the singles wrestlers. Who was calling for this? Was it you, Anne? Someone was saying, get the men backs, all of your single men. Get them in a gymnasium. Pair them up. Do basically a chemistry speed dating for wrestling. God. And make some fucking tag teams.
Seriously, like, put Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy together, or Orange Cassidy and Mark Briscoe, and have them fight the Young Bucks. I don't even care. Please. It's ridiculous, but, like, give me something that's not FTR.
Can't believe you didn't pair Kyle with the love of his life, Mark Briscoe.
I mean,
well, he's going to be pining from across the gymnasium. He's going to be like, oh, okay. I really wanted to be with Mark.
Shit out of a feud that was the Young Bucks versus OC and Mark Briscoe that just featured every now and then, like, cut to the crowd and Kyle's in there, like, in a sting mask, being like, I wish it was me.
I wish it was me. please. If you don't do something about this tag team division, we're going to be the old nag that has to get taken out back and shot in the head. I can't do it. I cannot do it anymore. It's just so crazy. Like, it's just like watching, like, it's like watching Scrooge McDuck be like, oh, I can't afford a soda. You have a pool full of money. That's the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are the pool full of money. Pool full of gold coins.
The Young Bucks are not a crumb.
They are not meant to be a crumb. Oh my god. Well, you know, so that's that, I think.
I think that was a great segment on Blood Bucks.
Yeah. We also let Blood and Guts have an hour, you know.
Oh my god. Okay, I think we're kind of going speed round on the rest of this, but that's okay because there wasn't that much more to comment on this week. The women are doing a really good job across the board, I would say, but they are doing it. It's much less time is being spent on it, and they're also just in, like, steady state. Yes, exactly. Okay, so we'll talk about Mariah debuted her new gimmick, the glamour. She came out in new gear. I went through a whole thing about this because I didn't understand what was happening, but thankfully Leah explained to me that we do still have an Owen belt that is what she assaulted Tony with. Mm-hmm. I kind of just thought it was the women's belt, I guess. I'm just not.
It's crazy they have belts for that.
I didn't rewatch the segment. So you said that she had a pink belt, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So the pink belt is the Owen one.
Maybe the other one might have been the women's belt. Maybe that was the women's belt.
She might have had the women's belt. I didn't rewatch it after I was talking to you. You just said she had a pink belt. And I was like, the Owen is the pink belt. But I don't know what she was. I didn't rewatch it. So I don't know what she hit Tony with.
Well, that was probably the women's belt then, because I don't remember it being pink, but this is really the weed is getting in there, my friend. Hey, my friends, it's starting to work. Okay, look, just ignore all of this. It's like she hit her pink belt with a belt. But that's not even relevant. Like, don't even worry about that part. Like, just worry about this week she came out, she had a belt, she had a shoe, okay? She's got a belt and she's got a shoe. And then she murdered a jobber, and then afterwards Tony's music hit and the crowd got so excited and Mariah acted like, oh, I'm so scared. And then she was like, no, you're stupid. That was me. That was a fun joke that I played on you. But actually, in the ring behind her now is lurking a bemasked figure, I think, or like bewigged. It was a bewigged figure, and the wig comes off and goes on the ground, and it's Tony. And her face is a fright mask. It's absolutely amazing stuff.
Oh, my God.
And she's wearing kind of like, you know how bell-bottom, like, tights have come back, kind of?
Yeah.
Like flare. They're a little flared. She's wearing those, which is funny to me for some reason. and then they start fighting. They get into it.
This was incredible. This was the moment where I was like, oh, wrestlers do so much like in nonverbal, like body language, facial expressions. And like, she killed it with this. And it was like, I'm awake suddenly, unlike the first hour of the show, you know, where it's just like, oh, if you just bring some intensity here, it goes a long way. Even if you're, I mean, obviously like this has been like a really good long-term story, but you know,
no, but it's you reactivate every time you bring intensity, you reactivate the, the mechanism of excitement. And that's the most important thing you can do. And so they had to get hauled apart by security, and Tony got her hands on a mic and screamed, "At Wembley, are you prepared to die? Because I am." And that's kind of, I was like, maybe that's what Jeff Jarrett should have been like screaming at Danielson.
Yeah, honestly.
Just like, are you prepared to die? And Danielson would be like, probably not. I don't think so. I doubt it very much.
Like, why are you being so weird? No, not helpful.
It was so fucking good. It was just like, I can't wait to watch these women get their hands on each other for real again.
I know. All I want from wrestling is like someone being like, are you prepared to die? Because I am. Like, that's encapsulated. Boy.
I'm just so excited to see what Tony is up to, because like, her look obviously changed.
Yeah.
So we are in a new zone. We are no longer in Timeless Tony zone. And so it's like, ooh, well, what is she going to do? Like, what?
Yeah. She really gave the impression that that betrayal had, like, deeply changed the, like, at the root of her being. Like, she was fully deranged, which I loved.
What I would really love, I would love some Tony promos where she is just like, I loved you. It was real for me. And I can't believe that you would betray that. Like, that's the kind of thing I want, because, you know, it's like, if you're gonna keep this activated over the years, you really want it to be, you want eventually to be like, oh, Mariah, but you had moments of weakness. You had moments of weakness where you did feel something real, and then you thought, no, take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, of course, like, I want the moment where, like, Tony's, like, beating Mariah, like just beating the shit out of her and saying things like, you felt something, I know you felt something, it was real sometimes, and Mariah's like, it wasn't, and it was, we all knew it was.
No, and it was, but she was protecting her own heart from it, and she said, no, I'm gonna be the meanest, baddest, the glamour, and I will see my plan through. But there's like, now a little tendril has gotten in there, and that tendril will grow. As they do, as tendrils do.
Yeah, yeah. You want the moment where somebody else comes after Tony and Mariah's like, don't touch her.
That's mine to destroy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, activated.
Activated. Fantastic. Big time.
Yeah.
We also had Renee interviewing Willow about her new CMLL World Women's Championship backstage on Dynamite, and that segment was interrupted by Chris throwing Willow into a pile of equipment and then challenging her to a rematch next Wednesday on Dynamite. I'd love to discuss these jeans with you.
Do you think
where
she did
are
it
they
herself?
Buying these? Yeah, that was my question too. But
because I feel like, because it was like cut all the way up, like the butt was cut off basically.
I think she would have had to pay a seamstress. Like the way
probably,
that it was constructed,
yeah.
I'm not that, maybe she can sew, but I was like, it's not just a cut job, like.
Right, because it wasn't frayed, it was someone hemmed it, yeah.
Yeah. They were
crazy.
I kind of didn't know what to do with it. I was just like, wow.
It's wild.
This is a fully new garment. it is denim underwear, basically, with
chaps.
Leggings. Chaps, you're right, it's in the chap zone.
I did have to just look up a picture so I could remember, because I didn't fully remember what we were talking about. And first of all, Chris posted the picture with the caption, "I know you were all waiting to see the pictures in this pants, you filthy scoundrels." And it was like, a little bit.
Yeah.
They're
crazy pants.
Yeah, I have to say, like, for me, it's less like a pervert scoundrel thing and more of like a genuine fascinated interest in the garment itself. Even though Chris is so beautiful, like one of the hunkiest women, but for me, it really, with these pants, it really is about the garment and less about the wow. Although she does look really good there, so
it was a very like, she, oh, we've invented really a whole new kind of thing to wear. Yeah.
it's interesting that kind of like actually in the second photo, it kind of looks like it's a skirt at the bottom, which of course it isn't, it looks like she's in like a denim maxi skirt, which is like that for if you're, you know, like gay and you grew up in the 90s, that's like, fuck yeah. Oh, she's wearing a denim maxi skirt? I'm aroused. Have to stop talking. But yeah, she does look really good. So, okay.
What's crazy though? We keep bumping this from a schedule because there hasn't been that much going on. So this is kind of like going back a while. Why did Chris not win? Like, why did Willow get to the finals and fight Mariah if they were just gonna reawaken this, like, this Chris Willow thing? Because it's like, well, Chris already lost pretty decisively, so like, I just like, I keep being like, I don't think Willow should have won that, their first one, because I think it would have been a better match to have Mariah up against a heel and then like Tony caring for her and like being like, you've got menaced by a heel, let me lead you to the backstage, and then Mariah turns on her. But also just for like the Chris Willow feud, I think it was worse for the pacing of that for Chris to lose so decisively and then kind of be like sitting there cooling her heels waiting for Willow to come back.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, at the time you were like, huh, that's kind of a weird choice, but they must be going somewhere with it. But then they weren't. It was just a weird choice. So it's like,
okay. Yeah, I think they could do a little more with the like emotional aftermath of the Chris Willow breakup, because I was thinking like Willow is someone who is in a really good position. I'd love to see her a little more just being like, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, why?
She,
like,
I was just thinking, she could be doing a Democratic Party thing where she's like,
that's weird. Like,
it's getting weird
that's
around
weird
here.
And mean.
Mariah, what Mariah did to Tony, what Chris did to me, y'all are getting weird. Stop doing this.
It's so funny. Well, and it is true, like, talking about the Tony Mariah thing, I thought they did such a good job, both of them, at communicating, like, how their characters had changed based on the betrayal, where it's like, oh, it's really affected both of them, and they're coming with, like, a new personality, kind of, that totally makes sense based on what's happening. But Chris and Willow haven't done as much sort of reinvention.
Yeah.
Or not reinvention, but, you know, like, continuity, like, a change.
Well, it's hard because it's like, Chris really didn't give the right reasons for why she turned on Willow. Yeah. Like, she doesn't have the same thing that Greg did, where like you can't really call Willow a narcissist. So it's like, so
whereas Chris, Orange Cassidy, of course, we all agree is.
Of course we agree. Yeah. I think it's like harder because it's like Chris never came up with a good reason, which means Willow doesn't really have anything to respond to. So it's like you can't like. It's a like both of them need to do a little bit more fundamental work.
Yeah,
and then they're not getting could much respond time. Like it could be like if Chris was like bullying her like this, like Willow could have gone through more of the phases of like, this isn't you, like this isn't like the person that I knew, and like have Chris being like, you never really fucking knew me, you didn't understand me, like, and that's what you don't get, is that like this is the real me, and like you could have more of that back and forth.
Yeah,
I think but they have it, and it's true, they don't get as much time, and I'm not like, I'm happy that they're fighting, and although I am a little confused, because I guess I did kind of think that this rematch was going to be at Wembley. But they are fighting on Dynamite this week, next week. So I don't really know, like, what the kind of what the pacing situation is, really.
Yeah.
It really would have been very cool to have three Wembley matches on the card, but I...
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to do.
I don't know what's going on. I'm going to... Should we skip Britton Mercedes? I don't think we really have anything to say. Yeah. And then I do think we should probably check in on MJF and Ospreay.
Yeah.
So we did open Dynamite this week with a little Alex Scoops Marvez segment. coming to us live from the parking garage of Will Ospreay's hotel, where he's just begging for a little scoop to feed his family. And Ospreay was really distracted because someone had given him a flat tire, and he had to get to the show because I guess he was like, I know I'm going to have to go out there and deal with MJF. Like, I'm on the clock, buddy. And so he what is the word I'm looking for? It's not commissioned. Whatever. He took Alex
commandeered.
He commandeered Alex Marvez's car, and they raced off to the arena where MJF was going head-to-head with Joe Biden, cutting a promo in which he called Ospreay a coward. He brought up Swerve and kind of sowed some seeds for a future feud there. And he said the international title is no more. Instead, we have the American Championship, which is a big red, white, and blue belt. Some real... one thing I will say for this. Well, actually, I'm talking quite a bit. Do you guys want to say anything first, or should I?
Go for it.
Well, all I was going to say is that it was real shades of Cody Rhodes when he was like, I'm American and I'm fighting Anthony Ogogo, who's British. But then I was like, yeah, but MJF is the heel, so
yeah.
I'll give it to him. It's not super interesting to me, but okay.
That is the one improvement,
that like American jingoism is a heel move.
It should be a heel move. But it was funny to me that like when he pulled it out, the crowd immediately started chanting USA and was like sort of like on the side, and he had to turn around and be like, "You're all fat hicks," just to be able to be like, "Do you remember you need to boo me? Like, stop."
Just like, guys, this is bad. They were like, American jingoism, I don't know, sounds pretty good to me.
A crowd in the USA loves to chant USA. Yeah, well. MJF is just like, I would like him to be interesting to me because he gets a lot of time, but he's kind of going back to his same old over and over. And
it's interesting to me because on paper, I sort of think that they should have something here with MJF being incredibly artificial and like... clearly like trying to make something happen and like doing this whole like too much, like all of this is too much. And then you've got Ospreay, who is like his age and like his like level of big deal, but it seems really, really genuine and like,
yeah,
is being like, they should be like perfect foils for each other where they should just keep hitting off for the next couple of years. But don't you feel like somehow they'd have absolutely no chemistry? Like,
it's wild,
I think that, like, when they're around each other, it sort of does feel like you're like, oh, I don't think that, like, whatever's happening here is, like, meshing right. Which sucks because, like, really, honestly, I think something like career length should be, like, being established right now. And it's not.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's really, yeah, I think that's what it is. It's just like, for some reason, they don't connect at all. So it just feels like two people in separate universes giving promos they can't hear, kind of.
And you know what, Leah, you had called this, I think this is these are your thoughts on chemistry testing, I believe.
Yeah.
it is kind of like, this is a situation where it's like, no shame. No shame, no shade to either of you. Like, this is why we have chemistry testing, because you can have two absolutely amazing actors who then you try to make them be in a rom-com together, and it's like, oof, done. Like, they do not, you could not in a million years sell me on the idea that these people have strong feelings about each other. And then you can have people who aren't very good actors at all, honestly, and then they get within a foot of each other, and it's just like, fuck. So, so it's like, this isn't, it's not, I don't think, I feel a little bit, like, I'm like, I don't want anyone to be like, you're being so mean to MJF. I'm just like, it's not his fault, and it's not Ospreay's fault.
No.
But they just don't have it. They don't have that X factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something's missing there, and that's okay. Like, but they should probably, like,
that's okay.
Probably move on.
Yeah. Right. Probably done with this. Like, you just see that it's not working, and you just, like, pivot, you know, because chemistry is kind of unpredictable, and there's not a lot you can do. And throwing a, like, America versus UK angle, I don't think does a lot for you.
What's really interesting and, like, scary to me is that, like, I really wasn't paying attention, so I didn't know this, but according to the One Nation Radio guys, he's scheduled to go down to CMLL and fight guys there, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Is he doing this American nightmare thing there, because he's gonna do
our election really, cycle.
He's gonna do some really racist stuff. Yeah, he's gonna
God help us.
Yeah, really damaging America's image abroad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, he is supposed to be the heel, so it's fine. But like, sure, yeah. I am like, still. I hope they don't show me clips of that because I don't want
to
be seen.
Yeah, we don't need to know about it. I do want to rewind just a second, and I just like have to bring everybody into my mental world again just for a moment to say that I'm so delighted. I'm just imagining Leah with Tony Khan in his office just being like, Tony, I've got to be frank with you. They just don't have chemistry. And that's okay. It's okay. And like Tony is just looking like, what the fuck? And you're just like, it's okay. It's not about you, Tony. It's all right. But I think we've just better move on. So next item on the agenda.
Give him a friendly handshake and then just move along. You know, I've been on many like app first dates where it's like on paper, you should be great. And it's just like, there's nothing here. Like you're perfectly attractive even. It's not even like, it's just like, no. And you just say it was nice to meet you. And that's the end of that.
They had an hour long bout of boringly athletic sex. Yeah. And we've had it. You don't have to go out again.
Yeah, nothing more to do here.
No, just say it's okay. You don't, you know.
Yeah, neither of you really want to, so just
you're not
going to
be dreaming of it. You're not going to be up late at night staring at the ceiling thinking like, oh,
unlike
fuck, I wish I were.
Some people unlike some other on people. This roster who are definitely lying awake thinking about one another every night.
Some people don't are giving the impression they haven't slept in months.
But don't you think like the vibe recently has been like, yeah, most people who touch Swerve end up that way, you know, like Osprey was like a little bit like, oh god, like Swerve is a force that
Swerve's a real MVP of 2024 for sure.
And Darby's still obviously processing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Very hung up on. He's sucking people into his vortex, but he unfortunately Danielson refused to be sucked into that vortex. He won't.
It just the problem almost spit with out Danielson my water. Is he refuses to be sucked or fucked.
He's just not interested.
He just keeps saying, this is a sport to me. This is merely a sport.
He probably took a vow of celibacy.
These are the opinions you won't get anywhere else.
Can I say something now? I'm so... Mm. No.
Yeah, please say it.
For some reason, I just imagine. Do you know the episode of Sex in the City where they go to a tantric sex class and the instructor is like a 70-year-old woman and she's demonstrating tantric sex hand job techniques on her 70-year-old husband who just is lying there looking completely unmoved and then, you know, etc. So that's how I'm imagining Bryan Danielson now, is that he's just lying there being like, you're welcome to demonstrate the tantric sex techniques if you want to, but mentally I've got it together. I won't be moved.
I really know so much about his sex life with his wife from her podcast and their reality shows, and I kind of think that is correct. Yeah. he refuses to have a quickie because he needs to fully engage emotionally. Right, physically. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So. They've got to light candles. Anyway. They got to light candles. They've got to create a whole mood thing.
I thought you said they've got Kindles. And I was like,
they got Kindles too. And I was like, what are they reading? And they read while they're in bonus?
You know. Get a little erotic.
They just lock up and then they intellectually engage.
Brian's like, get your Mary Oliver out. We're going to make love.
Joy is not meant to be a crock.
That really sets the stage for it, for sure.
God, I'm going to be thinking the Young Bucks are not meant to be a crock for the rest of my life.
That's going to be, like, the title.
Oh. God.
A lot of wisdom in our show tonight.
I think
we can say that for it.
Oh, my God. We did say it was going to be a loose one. How many minutes in are we now?
87.
Okay, well, do you want to just say, a few thoughts on the Idol mid-card, or should we wrap it up here?
Yeah, why is nothing happening in the Idol mid-card? Why
it's
is
so
it all just
sleepy.
Like...
It's the so sleepy little mid-card.
There's
why
just
is no one trying?
There's so many things that I'm like, are they building towards something? Like, is Luchasaurus ever going to turn on Christian or no? And like, is Kyle O'Reilly ever going to turn on anybody or no? Like, I just
or
feel like
consummate his love for Mark Briscoe. Like, the conglomeration is so random and they just like fight without seeming to care about it at
all. It's fun. Like elements of it are so fun. That's the funny thing about it. So in the Idol mid card, I've lumped in Patriarchy, Trios, Champs, Conglomeration, Undisputed Kingdom, and the Learning Tree. And I actually don't have like, I don't have aggressive beef with any of this, okay? And no, I understand you gotta, you know, you gotta fill a show. So some stuff is gonna be lower key than other stuff. But these are so low key in terms of narrative arc that I can track that it's like I'm like putting a mirror over their mouths to see if there's still breath coming out. Like it's like, are we going somewhere with these? Is there gonna be any like trajectory of movement or kind of
ways, you know, I feel like kind of spending like an hour on Osprey MJF last week meant like a lot of these things are just back burner. Like that didn't help anything. And but it's like there's still just no movement. Like there were matches this week and it was just like, what am I supposed to be getting out of this?
But to be super clear, spending an hour on Blood and Guts this week was a good use of time.
It was.
And actually, in fairness, we did get a lot more plot development in that hour than we did during MJF.
We're fine. There were 10 members there and they all had stuff going on that was emotional and story-based. Yes. So it was like, it wasn't just two people doing nothing, non-chemistry nothing, you know? No. I mean, whatever, it was athletic. But you could have gotten across everything you got across with Osprey and JF in 20 minutes.
Yeah, oh, my goodness, absolutely. Take it down to 15, even.
Yeah. Cut your darling, you know?
A couple minutes off.
Everything in a show should explain character or move the plot forward, and we're having a lot of things that are not doing either of those.
You know, I have to say, can I do a little light snipe and gripe here at the end?
Please.
I will say I saw a lot of complaining about the hotel garage segment that opened Dynamite this week. I saw some really, I would say, vitriolic complaining about it. And I actually pretty smugly thought to myself, it was under 2 minutes. It was fucking under 2 minutes. Yeah. I'm no longer listening to criticism from people who are losing their minds over stuff that lasted less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I won't
Frankly,
do it.
Frankly, why are you being so weird and mean? I would like to say to the IWC.
Why are
that was a weird thing to say.
Yeah. So, So I don't know why I brought that up now. But the Idol mid card, it's like, wake up. We're in a little sleepy. We're in a little sleepy Hamlet. And you've got to recognize, actually, this is Midsummer Murders. And someone has to get murdered. And then the Hamlet's got to come up like a beehive.
So true.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking about like hornets, like when they get
I love
really
it.
Upset.
It's great. It was very vivid imagery.
Someone's got to get murdered.
Got to come up like a beehive,
Do you think that is maybe a good place to end the show?
Yeah. An impassioned plea for someone to try at their job. I, too, phone it in at my job sometimes.
Oh, my God, I know.
It's summer. We're all trying to just get out.
Yeah.
It's so humid.
You'd rather be at the lake. You don't want to sit down and do your homework of coming up with a promo. You don't want to have to bring an emotional intensity to your workplace. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry that, unfortunately, bringing emotional intensity to your workplace is in your contract. It is your job, so I'm going to need...
And you only have to do it 2 hours a week, you know? Oh, and you're not in the whole 2 hours. Like, I'm at my damn job every 40 hours a week.
40 hours a week.
And you're on vacation, actually. But
yeah, not right now. I mean, I am taking the whole summer off, but...
I agree. Just, you know, so, it's like, in the pleasantest way possible... To so many sleepy members of the AEW congregation, do your job. Please, do your job.
Just wake up and put a little effort in for 10 full minutes on a Wednesday, and then you're done for the week, you know?
You
can go to the pool.
It will not kill you, and it'll make us so happy. And our happiness is really important.
And it's always on thin ice, our happiness. It really, we need a lot of support. So.
We're Amy March out on the pond, okay? It's all about to go tits up for us. On that note, I have been Allie.
I have been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. I'm going to remind you again, go check out Gate Leapers. It's a very fun hour and a half. You'll have a blast. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, please. Please stay frosty. And as always, come back next week.